Prompted by the new tax regime, the Apple Corporation of Cupertino, California, pledges to bring a pile of money to America and use it for what? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Now that the corporate tax rules are different, Apple says it's bringing to the United States about $250 billion, assets that had been left in foreign countries to save the company money. Apple says some of it will be used to pay $38 billion in additional federal taxes, to hire more people, and to build an additional office complex, and to cheer up its shareholders. Molly Wood is host of our program Marketplace Tech. She's closely watching this story.
Now that this money is coming back to the U.S., even over 5 years, it essentially gives Apple the cash to do whatever it wants. It is likely that some of these capital expenditures and data center investments were already in the works. But it's sort of like when you get a bonus at work. You can do all of the work on the house that you were already planning, but you can do whatever else you want to. So Apple might be looking at acquisitions, you know, stock buybacks, bigger dividends for shareholders, which is something that they have been asking for.
And she did mention the word acquisitions.
For my part, I'll be looking to see what companies Apple buys. There are definitely areas where it has lagged or hasn't had the bandwidth to focus. Virtual reality, driverless cars. Maybe Apple could start throwing cash around to put together that streaming TV service that it's been promising for the last 5 years or so.
Marketplace tech host Molly Wood in Northern California. The China-based company Tencent, which does WeChat, is widening its lead over Facebook as the world's most valuable social media company. Some of this is investors have a little crush going on Asia-based tech companies at the moment. But the main thing is Facebook shares dropping after the company decided to change its algorithm last week to favor real friends and family interactions rather than corporate pitches. Facebook stock is down more than 5.5% since then. Let's do some other numbers. The FTSE in London down 0.4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed at the moment. The S&P future is up by less than 0.1%. President Trump is visiting a heavy equipment factory in Pittsburgh today, in part to campaign for a Republican candidate looking to fill a vacant congressional seat there. The president's expected to promote the new tax bill and to tout recent growth in U.S. manufacturing, a sector he campaigned on saving. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank has more.
U.S. manufacturing added about 200,000 jobs last year, another step in the sector's slow but steady recovery since the recession, when a third of those jobs disappeared. Rob Atkinson with the Information Technology and Innovation Foundation says we're still a million jobs shy of where we were a decade ago.
The bloodbath is over, but I wouldn't call this a renaissance. I'd call it more of a convalescence.
Still, total output is nearing all-time highs, and new orders for American manufactured goods are rising at the quickest pace since 2003. Mark Zandi at Moody's Analytics says President Trump shouldn't take much credit.
I don't think he's had any impact on the manufacturing base, at least not so far. The global economy had a very good year, and you mix that in with a softer dollar. That means U.S. exports increased substantively, and that's the real juice to manufacturing.
New tax cuts are also expected to boost the sector this year, but Zandi cautions any move by Trump to impede global trade, like killing NAFTA, could derail it. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
Now to a blue state fellow who feels the Republican tax overhaul was a hash job that really stuck it to folks in high tax states by limiting their ability to deduct. Now this Jersey guy is on a quest for creative ways to reduce his tax bill, something he says is rare for him.
If we had anything like a fair and rational and reasonable procedure, I probably would not aggressively be out there cutting my taxes.
Yes, that's Washington Post columnist and ProPublica editor-at-large Alan Sloan. Under the new tax plan, many more taxpayers like him will have to take the expanded standard deduction, limiting options. So Mr. Sloan got to thinking about the money he already gives to charity. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, David.
All right, you've come up with creative strategy number one. This is of use to, you think, older Americans.
Not to be confused with mature Americans. This works if you're at least 70 and a half and getting what are called required minimum distributions from your retirement funds.
The government says you got to take some of your money out of retirement when you reach that age and above, and that's all taxable.
But what you can do is tell the people who administer your fund to send some of the money to specific charities instead of to you. And what happens then is the amount on which you owe taxes is reduced, and it's the functional equivalent of deducting the charitable contributions.
All right, awesome. Charity gets your money, but that's not exactly the same as you reducing your tax bill, or is it?
Well, it is, because at least for me, and I think for a lot of our listeners, I'm not going to be able to itemize deductions anymore because of what they've done to state and local taxes. So I wouldn't be able to deduct my charitable contributions. This way, I get to deduct the charitable contributions, and I get the new, bigger standard deduction.
Now, if you're not 70 and a half years old or more, what could you do?
There's something I've come to call the DAFI strategy.
You're thinking of donor-advised funds. I don't know where you get the Y at the end of DAFI.
Well, that's because DAF doesn't say anything, so you just make it DAFI because it's funny. What you do here is, if you've got the money, take a whole bunch of years of contributions at once, write one check to a donor-advised fund, so that way it's deductible. And then over however many years you want to do it, you can tell the fund to send specific amounts of money to specific charities, and you've gotten to deduct the money, which you would not do if you took the standard deduction.
But isn't a donor-advised fund for people with yachts, people with three tennis courts in their backyard who drive Lamborghinis?
Well, no, it's actually for people like you who are not starving but are not mega rich. You could do this, and for a small fee, I will show you how to do it, or even better, I'll introduce you to my accountant, and for a small fee, he'll show you how to do it.
And look, this is complicated. Maybe they should read about it in your column.
But of course.
All right, we'll put a link at marketplace.org. Alan Sloan is also editor-at-large at ProPublica. Alan, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.